From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everybody. Aaron Nagler here. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I'm always joined by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from the podcast studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we try to contain our excitement about the sun coming into my eyes, and we try to contain our excitement about the special teams performance down in Tampa, but first, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, we got
Romeo Doubs.
We got the bad, we got
Charles Aaron Rodgers.
We got the ugly. We got
the second half offense. You talk about UGLY. It ain't got no alibi. It ugly, the second half offense. Corey Banky, are you surviving in the sunburst that
I'm gonna block? Oh, there we go.
There you go. This is the perils of doing transplants a little earlier. We got the sun beaming down on you.
I still see Lambeau Field. I didn't. There's only a little bit of blockage. What's up? Let's go. 2-1 Green Bay Packers.
2-1 baby. Packers hard fought victory down in Tampa Bay. Gotta love the stick-to-itiveness, the defensive prowess. And yes, as Corey mentioned, the special teams come into play. Before we get to the game, before we get to the news, you know how we roll here on Packer Transplants. We have to start with the hotness. Let's do it. Oh, yeah. It's time for the hotness. Oh, baby. So each and every week, obviously, we like to highlight one moment or one play, one thing from the Packers game that was hot. That was the hotness. And there were a lot of candidates this week. But I think we all know what we got to go with. We got to go with this moment here from one Alan Lazard. Let's do it. Let's show him. Alan Lazard just hanging out and boom! Oh, my goodness. That's so hot. Let's see it one more time. Just hanging out. Bam! Oh, thank you. That is what we call the hotness.
I love how the guy's like, oh, hey, you hit me. You hit me. Right. Hey, you made a legal play.
These defenders spend the whole game like trying to decapitate the offensive players. But the moment a wide receiver goes after a DB, hey, we're playing football.
Is
that allowed? I love it. I love it so much. So, yes, that's your hotness. Let's get to the Packers news, people. We mentioned special teams earlier. Pat O'Donnell, your NFC special teams player of the week. Now, obviously, his production is helped along by the guys who are the Gunners, the Flyers, as Matt informed us they're called earlier this week. So, you know, Ruby Ford, Keyshawn Nixon, big part of this award. But, man, shout out to Pat O'Donnell. I cannot remember a time in recent Packers vintage where we had a NFC special teams player of the week residing there at 1265 Lombardi.
I really don't enjoy shouting out the punter. I feel like if you're shouting out the punter, you're doing something wrong. I don't know. It just feels wrong.
You're winning. You know what you're doing, Corey? You're winning.
It feels so wrong on so many levels.
I feel you. You are anti-punter. I know.
I'm not anti-punter. I just feel like if you're talking about the punter, we're doing something wrong. I feel you. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
I thought you did a good job. I'm glad. But let's not do it again. Let's not make him the offensive player again. Let's have a good second half offense so we can talk about Romeo Doubs being the offensive player of the week instead of freaking.
See, now you're talking. Now I'm down with it. I hear you. I feel you. Next up on Packers News, Jair Alexander apparently avoiding serious injury, which of course is great news. I mean, the prospect of having another stretch of a season without Jair was just too much to bear. Reporting around the injury, and then Matt himself today saying that Jair will be, quote, day-to-day. Indeed, he was a limited participant in practice on Wednesday. I highly doubt he plays on Sunday, but the fact that he won't be out for an extended time, hopefully, that's good news. That's good stuff. That's good Packers news right there.
Definitely.
I love it. And of course, you know, just for my good friend Corey Banky here, I had to get the latest practice squad update
Corey. The Packers have signed Corey Ballantyne, former draft pick for the New York Giants, a special teams ace himself. He's a kick returner specialist, so maybe he helps add a little juice in that regard to the Packers' special teams. And then finally, Corey, now this is the big news of the day. Obviously, we're all excited about this game against the Patriots and then flying to London, but when we return, the Packers will take on the New York Jets in their classic 1950s uniform. That's right, the Packers letting everyone know that is the week, people. I've been asked a lot, when are they wearing those classics? Oh, well, now you know, people.
Those are nice, but when are they going to wear the ones in between Acme Packing and the 50s ones? So the green ones are nice. I like them. But when are we going to get to the yellows? I like the yellow.
I know. I hear you. Well, what's funny is that, you know, Mark Murphy dropped that mini bombshell, if you're into such, you know, news, earlier this summer, that it's a 5-year deal with the classics. Like, we all thought, okay, last year, great. And then, okay, we'll get some new throwbacks this year. And then Mark was like, yeah, no, this is a 5-year deal. So you're going to get them for the next 3 years as well, Banky. So you might as well embrace it.
Because I don't know. I mean, I got one with my name on it. The Packers sent to me.
Yeah.
It's got Banky right on the back. Maybe I should wear that. Maybe I should wear that to no, I'm wearing Carry the G this weekend. So maybe I'll wear that in the Jets game.
Yeah, have to. Got to coordinate, as they say in Boomerang. Have to do it. Let's talk about this Packers offense, shall we? Because there's been a lot of hand-wringing, a lot of consternation about the second half, for good reason. I understand it. But can we focus on Romeo freaking Dobbs? You talk about answering the call. You talk about a rookie thrust into a position of, okay, we're going into the Lions' den, so to speak. We're going into Tampa, who has one of, if not the best defense in the league. And we are going to be leaning on you and asking you to contribute in a major way. And Romeo answered that bell every single time. Love it. Absolutely.
You know, I'm not last week because we didn't have a show last week, right? But
that's
the week before that.
Or 2 weeks ago.
I believe the week before that, somebody on the show, not you, said that Romeo Dobbs by the end of the season is going to be the number one wide receiver. And I don't remember you telling me that was a very good point. So I just want to be a little petty here for a second on this show.
Well, because you were projecting forward, not analyzing something that had already occurred.
Got it.
That's the difference.
Got it. You know? Got it.
Not
got
that. It. And if we got get it. To the end of the season got and it. He is the number one receiver,
then I would have.
I will give you.
Point.
I will be throwing bouquets. I will be absolutely lighting you up. Geez. I will be.
You know, I like
trumpeting.
Flowers. You know, I like flowers.
I know you're a big flower guy. I understand. You have so many in your garden, but you know, if it proves out, I will ring the bell. I will trumpet your analytic viewpoints as prescient and very, very incisive for all the land.
Interesting. You know what the other thing that's interesting? I forgot these glasses were green, but there's so much light in this room that the green is showing up. I love it.
Yes, it is. Yes,
just
it
a
is.
Little I'm very, get very green. A little crooked. So let me get them a little. There we go. Now my face
looking
looks
good. Green. Looking good. What has not been looking good? See how that segue happens. What has not been looking good is the pony package. We were all very excited this summer about putting those two backs in the backfield together. And as of yet, as pointed out by our good friend Justice Mosqueda over there at Acme Packing Company, it has not been as productive, most likely, as most Packers fans were hoping. Now,
it's coming.
I think there are some things, you know, there's a lot of variables here, right? To Justice's point, he kind of illustrates this in the article. You know, it's been a lot of kind of the same thing. We've seen a lot of send one of those guys out of the backfield in motion, hoping to take either a linebacker or a safety with him, or at least causing the defense to shift, and then running with the other guy, whoever's remaining. There's been precious little, you know, there's been a few wrinkles here, like the touchdown that Jones had with A.J. Dillon lead blocking, etc. But for the most part, it's been pretty similar, the way they've been using them. And we know, from watching during the summer, they've got a whole lot of other kind of plays to use out of this package. So I suspect that while, you know, yes, no, it has not been as productive as maybe we were hoping early, you know, this season, and it hasn't really kind of unleashed their potential, so to speak. I think they've got a lot of stuff left in the chamber, and it's time to let the pony gallop. It's time to let it loose a little bit.
Because, we need more of the first half offense and less of the second half offense.
This is true, sir.
I mean, here's the thing. What do you think the Packers?
That's a very good point.
What do you think the Packers? What do you think their takeaway is? What do you think Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers' takeaway is from like what they did in the second half versus what they did in the first half? You think it's more Tampa Bay adjusting to what they were doing than it is them getting away from stuff? Because I think you'd say, oh, we got away from running the ball, which, you know, if you look at the tape, we probably did a little bit.
Well, it's funny is that they got back to running it and they just weren't successful up front, which makes it hard to stick with it.
Yeah.
Even though the second to last series, they got a couple of nice runs, one from AJ, one from Aaron. But they couldn't really string anything together consistently because they were getting whipped up front. And one of the things that I did think Billy had a good point when we were talking to Beer and Ball is you're talking about into the fourth quarter down in Florida, the heat is like 85, 90 degrees with the index, etc. The blocks that they were making in the first half, the runs that they were springing, that was very much kind of missing in the second half, whether it's Josh Myers getting out on the edge, whether it's, you know, Newman trying to work to the second level. I think exhaustion kind of got, maybe not exhaustion, but, you know, tiredness got to them a little bit. And the Bucs just whipped them physically up front with what they were trying to do, because there are a number of plays, and Matt kind of alluded to this on Monday. If you look, like, if any one block goes the other way, like, it was almost always one guy getting beat up front that ruined one of these, you know, many of the running plays in the second half. If just that one block happens, they're off to the race. They're gaining 8 yards on a play. So I do think there is something to that. And it's, you know, it's not an excuse. I think it's just what happened. You know, they got tired down there in that heat and the Bucs took over up front. So it's nothing that I think you should panic about. In fact, I would say, look at that first half and look what they're capable of. Because, Corey, we said it on the watch party. At one point, they're 5 for 5 on third down, and they've hit 7 different receivers.
Yep,
I like it. You know what I mean? Like, a lot. Spreading the ball around, not focusing on any one play or type or sequence. They were really, really effective and efficient with the football, and Tampa really couldn't get a beat on where they were going to get hit next. I think I love that. And in a game that's not in 90-degree heat down in Florida, I think they got a chance of extending and probably making that happen for a longer period of time.
You know, you showed this. I think you tweeted this this run by Ryan Grant that was literally like on the 5-yard line and went for a touchdown. It was incredible.
Ryan Grant.
Yeah, you tweeted it or Cheesehead TV tweeted it. I don't know. It was cool. Like somebody tweeted a video. Tyler. Yeah, it was like a video and it was like way back when. I mean, it was Aaron Rodgers, but it was like Ryan Grant. He ran for like 90 yards for a touchdown. I think you're going to see that from Aaron Jones this weekend. I think you're going to see a long run because to your point about, you know, the Packers just being one man away, Aaron Jones is due for one. If you look at him last season, he's due for a long one.
Remember the big one he had against Cincinnati? One big run like that is coming. There is zero doubt. I have no doubt about it. That is going to happen. Speaking of the guys up front, there's been a lot of talk online anyway this week about Josh Myers. I know Ben Fennell put something out there. I think Zach Cruz was talking about it. And look, I can see it, man. I understand there are certainly moments in these games, all three of them so far, where you think, yikes, like there are some plays that are just not good looking, doesn't either finish his block or straight up gets beat. But there are also plenty of plays where you see, and he looks phenomenal. He's very inconsistent still at this point. But as I said this summer, and I'm going to continue to say it because it's true, he is still a very young player. The only way he's going to improve is to continue to play, and which he will obviously do as the starting center. He will play more and more. And the more he plays, the better he's going to get. As someone on Twitter pointed out, I think we did get spoiled by Corey Linsley a little bit these last few years. You know, and now we come in, we have this kid, you know, he's not even played 16 full games yet, and we all expect him to be as good as Corey Linsley. Well, I got to remind people, Corey Linsley wasn't even, quote, Corey Linsley when he first came into the league. Like, it takes a little bit of time. So I understand it's frustrating. Especially, I know the draft nicks, like point to Creed Humphrey, getting taken after him, etc. But I still really like what we've seen from Josh, and he will get there. And I think he's going to be a very good player for this team for a long time.
Well, there's that one block that he had, and was it the first game of the season, where you don't even know how he got to the third level. Like, I still watch that play, and I'm like, how did he get to the safeties? Like, I'm like tracking the dude. I'm like, you're the center. Right. How did you even get there? And he, it's the touchdown, I think, for Jones, where he springs Jones.
But that's the thing, like it's the ridiculous. athleticism and the ability to get up, you know, past that first kind of wave. He's shown that he can do it, and you know, not even on the designs, on the rollouts, or even the plays where they ask him to pull. He's so quick and athletic, man. Once he, like I said, once he gets his feet under him a little bit more, look out. I think this kid's going to be really, really good, really good. Let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball, shall we? We talked a lot about you know, Dobbs making his hay. We got a guy making hay when he's being asked to man up, and that's Rasul Douglas. I mean, I don't think there's any question. You saw kind of earlier this year, he's playing inside. I think you saw him get beat a couple times, but you've also seen some lockdown stuff. Man, when Jair went down and they had to switch him to the perimeter, when he mans up, he is a problem no matter who he's guarding. He played so well in that second half. I mean, and it was like he had that tenacity that I want it. Please throw the ball my way. Please throw the ball my way. I love his attitude. And I do think the Packers got some decisions to make here if and when Jair gets back. I don't know, man. I love Rasul on the outside. And I know, you know, Jair, and you worry about the physicality and what have you, but I think putting Jair inside would open up his playmaking ability even more, whether it's sending him after the quarterback, you know, making plays in the run game. I love Rasul outside, and I think the Packers are better when he's out there.
So does that mean we're going to see Rasul Douglas on Justin Jefferson in the redemption game?
It's possible. I think we'll see Jair a lot.
I would like to see
Maybe not following Justin.
I would like to see that. See a lot personally, more I would like to see that.
It'd be fun. Definitely be fun. Another young player, Devontae Wyatt, is a kid that a lot of people have talked about early in the season as a former, now this year's second first round pick, hasn't been playing a whole lot, only played 7 snaps in Tampa Bay. But I think the kid is coming along, and I caution people, because I've seen a little bit of tithering here and there about, oh, you know, he's not playing, he's a first round pick, why isn't he out there? I mean, I'll tell you why he's not out there as much as maybe we'd hope initially is TJ Slayton is balling out. TJ Slayton, you talk about a kid developing from year one to year two, you know, and this is a great problem to have if you're Jerry Montgomery, the defensive line coach, as to how to work the rotation. I love what Wyatt has been doing in very, very small doses. He will get more playing time. If he keeps playing the way he has been, he will get more playing time. You put him out there with Kenny, with TJ, etc., it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. That is coming. What else is coming is Devondre Campbell.
Devondre Campbell is ridiculous.
There he is.
Wow.
There's Devondre Campbell. This game, the first two games of the season, I don't think we're up to his standard. I'm flat out not up to his standard, not the one he set last year. But in Tampa Bay, there's Devondre Campbell.
He's got to be, I mean, really, if you look at our history, he's got to be the best free agent pickup of the last 5 years, at least.
He's one
right?
of them. I mean, my goodness.
I mean, I know you got Rasul Douglas, and I know you got Preston Smith, and I know you got, you know, you could even say Z. He's surpassed Z almost at this point, just in terms of back in the day, you could rely on Nick Barnett to get that tip, okay?
Right.
Maybe sometimes A.J. Hawk when he wasn't fucking around and not being a good player. But, you know, A.J. Hawk never really was the player that Devondre Campbell is right now. Just let's be real, okay? Well, A.J. Hawk was never at his level. And, like, we took him at his level, and he should have been at his level, but he was never at his level. I mean, you couldn't rely on a guy like that. And it's kind of incredible the way he played on Sunday.
He was all over the field. Aaron mentioned it. The idea that, to your point, Corey, that they got him so late in the process last summer. I mean, remember, he signed, I believe it was, minicamp weekend and basically got a crash course in the defense. Didn't start the training camp as a starter, even. He was still working with the second unit. And then by the end of the year, he's an all-pro. Now he's been paid. And now, I mean, Sunday, that's the standard. You know, that there he is. So it's nice to see him get locked in, so to speak. Quay Walker, still a young guy, playing alongside him, going to make some mistakes. So it's good to have your all-pro playing at an all-pro level. And I'm telling you, man, Walker's another one. I get it. I see people talking about how, he's not so great in the run game. He looks a little lost sometimes, etc. Yeah, he's a rookie playing a million miles an hour in his first three NFL games. Trust me. Like, we've seen the big hits. We've seen the playmaking ability. Once he gets, he stops, going a million miles an hour in his head, it's that thing in the Matrix, right? When the code suddenly appears for him, look out. Look out. Because that he unlocks that, once the game slows down for him a little bit, whew, baby, it's going to be great. All right. I think we're ready for
Are we not going to talk about Belichick at all, or what's going on? You just decided not to talk about the Patriots because
No, it's not that. It was the fact that, we switched the time, and I didn't have time to go back and look at the matchup. And I have a radio hit at the top of the hour, so I thought, we can shorten the show a little bit because I'm going to have to do that. But I will say this. I will say this, Corey. And I know this doesn't really have to do with the matchup per se.
Yep.
But I will say this. This game, in years past, has all the trappings of a letdown game. Every single one of them. Coming off an NFC opponent on the road. Big win. You're all excited. 4 o'clock hour. Uncommon AFC opponent. And the biggest red flag, gold package.
Oh, God. I forgot about gold package.
I'm just saying. Now, the gold package has been better.
It has, Matt LaFleur. It has been better.
It's been better the last few years.
It hasn't been as sucky in this. It has been. Yeah, it's true. Milwaukee fans got to give it up for him. Come on.
But they traditionally,
you commute that hour and a half, and that hour and a half back, it takes all the energy out of you. 100%.
This is it, man. This has the trappings of a letdown game.
It's well, good thing
they have to bring the
Patriots. The Patriots have no one, and they kind of suck, don't they?
That's one way of
doesn't the only person they have is Bill Belichick, right? That's basically all they got, right?
I follow
the AFC like you follow the CFL. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like
fair.
The sister league.
That's
sister
very
conference.
Fair. That's sister very, conference. Very fair. I mean, it'd be one thing if Mac Jones was going to play. I know Belichick's trying to play coy, like, he's day-to-day or whatever. He's not going to play. So it's going to be the Brian Hoyer show. And if you can't, dominate Brian Hoyer at home with this defense, just go to sleep. Just write it off. I mean, that's ridiculous. They should this is a game they should absolutely win. Now, 100%. Again, there are a lot of trappings here, but this is a game they should win. So we'll see. We'll come Sunday. Gold package. Make us eat our words. Bring the heat. Bring the energy. The Packers are going to need it. It should be a lot of fun on Sunday, but it's up to you. That's what I have to say about that. All right, you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. So, Banky.
Yeah.
We had a party, a
we
launch
did.
Party, down we there did. In Milwaukee at Scout Wine Merchants, and holy cow.
I couldn't believe how many people turned up, actually. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be like 20 people, but it was a lot more than 20.
Here you're looking at the very first Carry the G on tap. Look at that.
Ooh, that's
historic
crazy.
Moment.
And we almost killed it. Like, there were 15 pint glasses left. Out of 149 pint glasses or something that we could have drank, there were like 15 left.
It was incredible. So, people
other beers. I feel bad. Joe, the brewer, he brought other beers, and like literally no one had a single other beer. Maybe they didn't want to get yelled at or something, but I wouldn't have yelled at. I was like, I almost tried it. And then I was like, nah, I want to carry the G.
I want to carry the G.
Nah, I gotta look at, I gotta look at Ridgeview. I'm going to try to do a report. I'm going to try on Friday.
We need our weekly bankery report.
We got to figure out where the beer still is. Cause I don't think it is anywhere. I'll be honest with you. I'm pretty sure we're sold out of Madison, and I'm pretty sure we're sold out of like half of the Milwaukee locations and most of the Green Bay ones, but I'm going to try to get people the skinny on the Green Bay ones.
Got to do it. Got to let the people know. It was great to see so many people. We had lots of people who we've worked with in the past or had on the show, including Phil Hanrahan. He's the author of Life After Favre. He stopped by early. It was so good to see him. Obviously he bought some Carry the G to take home with him.
Yeah.
So very cool. We got Tim stopping by. Tim Backus, who writes for CheeseheadTV.com. It was great to see him. And then Matthew, I don't know what was in his batch of Carry the G.
He got a special batch.
He got a very special batch there, as you can see. And then finally, we wanted to give Joe a shout out. Joe at Gathering Place. Yeah. That's the man responsible for actually brewing the beer.
Make some more beer, enjoying. Joe, make some more beer, buddy. Keep making that beer.
Keep making the beer. Because we got folks who will undoubtedly be buying it. No
people
doubt
be
about
drinking it.
Seriously, though, I do want to say we heard from so many people all throughout the night. Just the way that people come to Cheesehead TV, however they come, like people, oh, I only know you guys from the radio, or oh, I just watch the chats, or oh, Packer transplants is my thing. So many people have so many different ways of like connecting with Cheesehead TV, connecting with Packers fans. It was so great to hear from each and every one of you. I can't thank you guys enough for A, making the trip and coming out and saying hi, but B, just sharing your love of the Packers with us and how you go about, say, what your routine is like during the week or during game day or what have you. Corey, I don't know about you, but I was kind of awestruck.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I think, you know, when we first started, we were like, oh, it would be cool if, like, we had a meetup and meet some people, and then we did it. Right. And then, like, I used to be, like, scared of it. And now I, like, really look forward to it because, like, at the end of the day, like, everybody just wants to share, like, their Green Bay Packer experience, their fan experience. And, you know, it is. It's really incredible. Every time I tell people how it is, it's more about, like, it's just, it's very humbling to meet people and have very similar things in common. And, you know, one of the funny things was there were like two or three people that were there. I'm not going to name any names, but they both were like, yeah, it's like the very similar story. They both were like, yeah, so I told my wife that I was going to go. I was like, honey, you know, those guys that I watched during the game, yeah, they're going to be in Shorewood. So I'm going to spend my Saturday night doing that. And the wives would be like, okay. It's just funny. Like, you know, and there were couples there. There were like a real range of people. Like, I think the biggest thing that I love about it is like, there's not one kind of person that's a Packer fan. It's a real diverse group of people. And that I think is something for Packer fans to be really proud of. And then the Packers in general.
Yes. No question about it. I do want to address one thing in the chat here. Someone just said, well, Blogosphere is just a commercial now.
I know. I saw that. I knew you were going to say something.
Well, I just want to say, first of all, already highlighted the work of Justice Mosqueda because it's good. And if you want us to, highlight other stuff, man, point it out, because everything I see around the Packers right now is by rote. It's a lot of like, here's their PFF score. Here's the film breakdown. Here's the, man, that's great. There's 100 different versions of the same thing.
Yeah.
So if someone comes out with something really cool and interesting and new, yeah, we'll talk about it. We always do. Hell, last week or two weeks ago, I said, fuck Brett Favre. Clip that for you guys. I mean, that was a little different, right? I mean, we talked about a welfare scandal. Was that an ad? I don't think so. You know, so I'm just like,
you're
look,
so
we're going to talk about
triggered.
What we talk about.
You're so easily triggered.
You damn right.
No, the funniest damn thing, right. And I said this on the watch party, the funniest thing is hanging out with, like, everybody says we're the Muppets, and like Aaron Nagler is well on his way to becoming a like cranky old grandfather. Like,
on his way.
He is there, literally baby. In the morning. Oh my God. Like, you are, yeah, you're something else. It's fun. It's actually fun. I enjoy it. It's interesting.
You know, that we should tell that story. We should tell that story because I'm sure not everybody was on watch party.
It's
but,
fine.
Like,
we can clip
so
it off.
Corey Banky, we get up in the morning. We had our thing on Saturday night. It was great. And then on Sunday morning, we get up. We got to get back up to Green Bay for watch party. And we're checking out of the hotel. And Corey has to get his very particular type of coffee. He needs a
canary. No, Canary. I don't need it, but I know it exists. And Canary Coffee in Milwaukee. I used to go there during the DNC. I used to go and get it, and then you wait for them to do the pour over, and it's like fun. There's a place.
Oh,
there's a
oh, wait.
There's a
you
place
wait for
in New
them
York
to do the pour over. Yeah. Interesting. Like, see, because
I'm giving a play-by-play about the pour over.
There it is. There
I'm literally giving a play-by-play because I'm very excited that this coffee is coming. Okay, because I know it's going to be good. I know I'm going to be able to taste the fruit. It was like measured out. It was weighed perfectly, and I'm literally like, look at them. They're weighing it now. Now they're doing this. Now they're doing this. And Nagler's literally like, you know, I know what a pour over is, right?
That's not what I said.
What'd you say?
I've had a pour over before.
Oh, you know, I've had a pour over before. You know, I'm just trying to bring a pal along. Just be like, hey, buddy, we're going to go to the coffee shop that I was at 2 years ago. And it's fun. And we're going to have fun. Mr. I cannot function until I've tasted coffee in my mouth. Nagler.
True. Very true.
Anyway,
very,
very it was true. Fun. It was a good time.
I will say, overall, it was a great time. We had a ball. It was a lot of fun.
Good stuff.
It was really very, very, very good. All right. We got to get to some YouTube comments. Can't get to Facebook comments anymore. RIP, the Cheese TV Facebook.
I think, hold on. I think I got them all. That's funny. All right. I'm viewing the queue now. All right. We got Nicole still in there. Go Pack Go. Go Pack Go, Nicole. Love it. Love to see it. Uncultured Barbarian, thanks for super chat. I don't remember who recommended Welcome to Relham, but I started watching this afternoon and can't stop, probably because they remind me of the Packers of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I don't think it's called Relham. I think it's called something else, but I know what show you're talking about, and yes, it has a very 70s and 80s Packers vibe. Looks dope.
Uncultured again with the super chat. This week on Banky on the Beat, Corey verbally slaps around Bukowski and Bill Michaels while gleefully dancing on the corpse of the Badger season.
God, damn.
You know me. How do you know me so well? How do people know me so well? I don't understand.
You do have a weekly show where you're talking to a microphone, but
I don't know why everybody wants Corey on the Beat. No one wants that, including 1265. Jack John, what's up, boys? Love to meet you guys at Scout. Jack John, appreciate you coming out. It was a lot
of fun.
Thank you,
Jack.
A lot of fun hanging out. Mark, are the beer cans in the window open or full? Inquiring minds want to know. Nagler drank all these beers. So these are a reminder of how many beers Nagler can drink in a day. That's what those are. Those are a little historical reminder for those of you that don't know. Matt Skinner, is there a Pat O'Donnell pub in Green Bay yet? Matt, you are now banned from the chat. Please don't ever come back. Thank you. Jeff Ness, thanks for the super chat. Nixon and Ford, terrible presidents, great special teams players.
Well played, Jeff Ness.
Uncultured, thanks for the super chat. The first Carry the G beer commercial should be a recreation of the rooftop scene from the Shawshank Redemption, or just a compilation of Banky's Rats, or Nags and Banky as Bartles and James. I like all of those. Also, I just want to say this. Okay, I literally told this was my launch plan for Carry the G and Packer Transplants, and I got vetoed by, I'm not going to name who it is, but you know, a certain person that runs social here at Cheesehead TV. Basically, I was like, you know what? Let's do 10 days of Corey Rand. So you have day 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and that's a way we can launch the TikTok and everything else. But I, you know, apparently, like, nobody wanted that. So you didn't get it. So if you want it, ask for it.
Social. Bug
Do
the
it.
Intern.
Yeah. Bug Tyler Herrick is his name. Just bug him.
I believe. Yep.
Dave, thanks for super chat. I'm just a moron, but Quay looked a little lost when Bucks went tempo. Would expect teams to test that, get Packers in base, and run tempo. What do you got to say about that, Nagler?
I think in time that will disappear, but yeah, of course. Like I said, third game versus rookie season, you know, doesn't have the terminology down pat yet, probably, you know. A little bit kind of thinking things rather than just seeing and reacting. I think it's to be expected. Maybe teams test it, but only if they're able to. You know, not every team's going to be able to do what Tom Brady does with the huddle and the line of scrimmage, etc. I'm certainly not concerned about it. That's for sure. But yeah, I think teams might try to take advantage of it at some point. Sure.
Debbie Downer, thanks for super chat. What hotel does opposing team stay in Green Bay? I believe they stay in Appleton.
Well, they do usually stay in Appleton, but teams have started to stay in Green Bay a few times a year. Northland, and there's another one too. I can't remember which one though. But yeah,
because I remember Northland. If I was a team, I would stay at the Northland for sure.
So like two years ago? I know Seattle was COVID year, so yeah, 2 years ago, Seattle stayed in Green Bay. They flew directly into Green Bay and stayed there. So teams have started slowly staying, like one or two have started to stay in Green Bay, but mostly they still stay in Appleton.
Kaveh Rahimi, congrats on Carry the G beer. Can't wait to try it. Bringing a suitcase full to London. You know, I don't think we're going to make customs, but we are going to try to, we're going to try to get some there, but I don't.
We'll get some duty much, free. That's what we're
pretty much do. For ourselves is why I want to bring some there selfishly. Dave, thanks for super chat. Talk about Ramage roasting David Carr. Oh, he did.
Yeah, it was fun. That was fun. Yeah, I saw that on his TikTok and on Reels. And that's the funny thing about like content that gets made now. It's like on every platform.
Yeah, it's on all things.
It was great. He used the clip from the summer where David Carr was like, oh, I'll be, you know, I think the Packers might just win 7 or 8 games or whatever. Oh. You know, it's an easy roast. But yeah, sometimes you got to bring it back. I would say just for myself, it's a little early. I mean, the Packers are only 2-1. They won their last game by 2 points. Like, I'd wait a little bit longer.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though. There is a very good possibility that Devontae going to the Raiders could end up stopping him from being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I mean, shit. I mean, it's early. It's very early in the season. But damn, if you aren't right as far as the way it's projecting out. Holy cow.
Now, a lot of people might be like, hey, I'd rather take a big contract and set my family in generations for life forever.
Yep, I get it.
But like, that's kind of crazy because had he stayed here, undoubtedly, as long as he stays healthy, you know, we win a Super Bowl, like, you know, whatever, he's pretty much on track. But now you could be a forget the guy because wide receiver is one of those positions. Like, if you ain't got nobody throwing to you, nobody paying attention to you. So.
In any way, shape, or form. That's going to be fascinating to track over the next couple of years, no doubt.
Jesse Wick, thanks for Super Chat. Corey calling Nags easily triggered, LOL, pot, meat, kettle. You know what, Jesse? You don't know me at all. You know what I'm saying?
You're record for banning people from the chat.
You don't know me at all. You just, you know. You
think we were
you
just talking about how people know you, and now no one knows you.
I don't like you, Nagler. D. Waxon, what's Corey's beef with Bill Michaels? What's not my beef?
Oh, boy.
Why do you like... Okay, let me turn that back to you, buddy. What do you like about Bill Michaels? Because I think that he's trash. So, I mean, have you ever listened to Bill Michaels like any time in the last, like, 10 years? Oh, if the Packers lost, then they're the most terrible team. They've done all this crazy stuff. They're so terrible, blah, 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 blah. Then if they win, it's this pretty much the same. It's just a little bit held back because other people are like, you know, Bill, they won, right? And like, he's just like, he's the guy that should have ended up in Alaska doing radio. But somehow, like, glommed on to, like, this market and never moved on from this market. And there's a reason he never moved on from this market, because he's not very talented. So is that enough for you? Would you like some more?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, can I retort here? Can I push back just a little bit? Look, no. I'm not a regular listener of Bill Michaels. And Lord knows, there's so much fucking content out there now. I pay attention to very, very little of it. But I think Bill's been doing it for a long time, and he has a very fixed kind of view of how he sees the team. And to your point, Corey, yeah, it is sometimes can skew a little negative and a little, you know, sky is falling when it's just like, okay, they lost a game, like, kind of thing. But man, he's got a devoted following. He's got people who listen to him. He's doing it all on his own now, you know, and he's been syndicated and whatever and blah, blah, blah. But much like we had people coming out and seeing us at Carry the G the other night, he's got people who come out and see him.
Dude, he's, you know, so jaded.
It's like, not my cup of tea.
Bro, he was jaded like 8 years ago. He was jaded, you know? Like 8 years ago, seriously.
Probably.
It's like, if you're going to, I'm sorry. I'm going to even push back harder on this. Like, bro, there is a standard for broadcast, okay? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even meet that standard, right? Because he's, and I hear you on the following, but like, Peter Bukowski has a following and nobody knows why that is. You know what I'm saying? Like, like that, and it's so funny you saying that, right? Mr. I love like Depeche Mode and like other like bands that are not mainstream. Your entire argument is, well, he's mainstream, so he must be doing something right.
I don't think he's definitely not mainstream anymore. He was once upon a time, but he still has a devoted following and people that listen to what he's saying and enjoy his insights. Like, look, again, but different shows,
here's
different
the thing.
Folks.
Yes, 100%.
It's the Packer blogosphere.
You know what's great? We should have everybody. Kyle Kuzino on just to say all of the things that Bill Michaels has literally said on the air that will blow your mind. And also that he said to Kyle Cousineau, who he knows is like a passionate fan, that will blow your mind. Like,
I feel you.
You're right. He takes his point of view into the into everything that he does, and he doesn't change it based on the situation. So that's a really good point, Nagler, that I think I should have said, which is that's my biggest problem. It's like, if I know what your point of view and your bias is, and you see something on TV, and then you just bring your point of view and bias into that action, that's not actually like, that's not professional, in my opinion. That's just, you're just trying to justify your own point of view and your own bias, and that's annoying. Where's the one? I saw the Bill Michaels one. Wait, where's the Bill Michaels? We tried to show it on the thing. Did I miss that one?
The Johnny Rivers one?
Yeah, Bill Michaels told me one time that Skyline Chili is better than any chili in Wisconsin. I couldn't value. I don't see that in social, though. Hold on. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I know. I couldn't value his opinion less now. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Wait, hold on. I gotta add
you
these.
Guys are hilarious.
I gotta add some more. All right, we got one more. Debbie Downer. Bad offensive lines are in trouble this year. Damn. Go Pack, go. See you Sunday, Corey. I'm ready. Let's go. I'm ready to buy.
Debbie Downer. Is Debbie Downer going to introduce themselves as Hi? I'm Debbie Downer. Downer on YouTube.
Hi, I'm Debbie Downer.
This can't gonna be look you like... for real.
Yeah, that's going to be funny to me. Corey, do you have any thoughts about Peter Bukowski this week? Thanks for the super chat, Justin. You know, I did see a tweet. Somebody was trying to trigger me on Peter Bukowski. No. I love it. I love how everybody basically on Twitter, when I get my notifications, they'll be like, Corey, what do you think of this? Like, anytime he says anything stupid now or like remotely stupid, like, or that they think I'll think is remotely stupid, people like tag me. But no, I like Peter, kind of. Those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts.
Oh my God. That is a clip. That's a clip and a half right there. I love it. So much. John Wayne,
get off your high horse about, dude, don't even get me fucking started. I don't have a high horse, bro. I'm a Packer fan. I've experienced Bill Michaels. I've experienced all these people. I've met most of them in real life. So you know what? There's no fucking high horse. This is my opinion about people that I've experienced over the last 20 or 30 years of my life. You don't like my opinion? Go away. Lord, people be dumb as fuck.
I'm so easily triggered.
Meet me in real life and then come talk to me. Okay. But don't Rogers, come to my house.
Rogers my lost house. Ponytail.
Rogers lost ponytail. Hi, Nickelback sucks. Let's get that W Sunday. Go Pack, go.
See, okay, can I just ask about Nickelback for a second? Because that does seem to be like the shorthand for terrible, right? Like, if something is terrible, it's quote, it's Nickelback, right? So, but how did that happen? Because they're just boring. Like, I don't, they're as much as I do not enjoy their music, because I certainly don't, like, it's not offensive to me.
I know,
it's no,
you know,
more
that,
terrible than all the other true. Terrible shit out
you
there.
You know that TikTok, you know what I mean? Where they're like, look at this fucking cat. That's my favorite. Right. And then you see the cat. And thanks, Nickelback. If you didn't have Nickelback, you wouldn't have that. Also, the whole like flying around the stadium, that's really cool. And like that whole meme with Rogers and everything. Yeah, you know.
Right.
I don't hate Nickelback.
I can't see the connection there between like their very kind of bad, but it, like wallpaper
Nickelback's kind
music.
Of Nickelback has a lot in common with Peter Bukowski. It's like, if you think about it, right? Like, it's kind of milquetoast. It's kind of bad. Says obvious shit all the time, but like popular and good looking.
There you go. There you go. See, you've cracked the code. That's pretty good. Oh my God. Wow, we are off the rails. Hey, if you want to ask Corey about Nickelback or Peter Bukowski or anything, really.
Anything you want. If you want to come and say I hate your opinions on YouTube, I'm here for it. I will be at
if you wanna tell Corey to get off his high horse, come to the Plaza Pit Stop 3 hours before kickoff on Sunday. Our friends at the Rush Center hosting once again in every home game throughout this season, so you'll have plenty of opportunities. Make sure you're there. It was a lot of fun. The first one kicked off 2 weeks ago. We have a little video here. Let's roll it.
See ya.
Good awesome. Times had by all. You gotta yes. love it.
If you can prove you are a Carry the G member or a Patreon, I will buy you one beer. Okay, one guy thought I was buying him four beers. He showed me, and I'm like, bro, these other three are from my friends. This
slow
one's for you, buddy.
Down. You
slow down.
Gotta make the Carry the G last. Hey, speaking of Patreon members, let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. If you are a Patreon member, A, we cannot thank you enough for your support. The community continues to grow. I was looking back, like, when we first started during the pandemic to now. It's insane. Just this week, information went up on our Patreon meetup coming in December. So visit the Patreon page. The information is there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, big time shout out to our Carry the G Club members. You guys talk about a growing community here on YouTube. Amazing. Carry the G. Cannot thank you guys enough. I love it during watch parties when we get all the emojis. Myself saying no, Corey saying go Pack go. It's a lot of fun. Anything else for the folks at home there, Corey?
Yeah, there's somebody, John Wayne's asking, if we hate Bukowski and Bill Michaels, why are they on our show? Here's the thing. Riddle this, Batman. This is really hard in this polarized age. You can actually hang out with people you have disagreements or don't like their content with. Believe it or not, that actually happens. It's crazy. Like, I actually like human beings, and human beings can be separated from their content. I know that's really hard for Zillennials and Zoomers, but that's the way the world should work, in my opinion.
Totally agree. In your opinion. Amazing. We have opinions.
My opinion? I have opinions. Them.
Apparently. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants Live. Can't thank you guys enough for making Cheesehead TV part of your daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.